And approximately 35% of the world's surfaces, including areas such as the Mediterranean, the Middle East, and large swaths of the Great Plains, growing soybeans can be rather problematic. And since soybeans have become an integral part of our agronomic systems, increasing in the north central portion of the United States, which is an area of Minnesota, the Dakotas, and Iowa, by 160% over a 30-year period. So my job as a soil fertility person is to try to figure out what is going on and how can we fix this. It turns out the problem is due to iron deficiency chlorosis. And in that same north central region, which doesn't include Kansas, where I'm at, this costs producers about $120 million worth of yield loss a year. So it's a very severe problem. Iron is a very integral part of photosynthesis and many other nitrogen fixation processes that are necessary for plant growth and development. As you can see, the symptoms of iron chlorosis include intervenal leaf yellowing, meaning the veins stay green and the leaves turn yellow, especially in the top portion of the plant. Unlike nitrogen, iron does not move in the plant, so early in the season the plants are green and then they turn yellow later. In the long run, your plant's growth then stunts and your yield takes a big loss once the yellowing has presented. So how do we predict this chlorosis? Well, predicting chlorosis is about as accurate as trying to get a weather prediction down to a minute. It's extraordinarily complex. It involves environmental, plant physiology factors, soil factors, and every year, the severity zones change. Some years, the spots are extraordinarily large. Some years, they're hardly non-existent. Rainfall, which is an environmental factor, can, in high levels of rainfall, it increases the available bicarbonate level, which raises the soil pH. Chlorosis is a deficiency of high pH, and the higher your pH, the higher your bicarbonates, and usually the higher your chlorosis level. However, it's not a direct correlation. There are many other factors involved. So, now that we know what's wrong, how do we fix it? What do we do about it? Well, chlorosis research has been done since the 1950s, and we still have just about as much knowledge as we did then. But in the last 50 years, we've come up with ways such as choosing tolerant varieties, which are bred to stay greener at earlier stages of plant growth, applying foliar iron fertilizers. In North Dakota and Minnesota, they have been successful in spraying with iron fertilizer to increase plant greenness. However, this is extraordinarily expensive because chelated iron is not easy to put on to plants. Also, you could coat your iron or your seed with an iron so you have iron in direct contact with the seed. You can also apply this chelated iron as a band fertilizer, or you could reduce plant stress like fungicides, irrigation stress, etc. The three bullets that are highlighted in red were the bullets that we have decided to concentrate on. So our objective was to determine and evaluate the different effects of iron fertilizers on soybean growth and yield. We had 7 irrigated sites over a 2-year period across the entire west transect of Kansas. We had Thomas County in the northwest down to Finney County in the southwest with Lane County in west central Kansas. As you can see, all of our pHs are uniform. They're relatively uniform. They're all between 8 and 8.5, which means we have a lot of bicarbonates in our root zone. Our organic matter levels were also pretty uniform, about 2%. Our iron, DTPA iron, is considered deficient below 6, so our iron is all deficient. Our nitrate levels are also deficient or below normal, and our phosphorus levels are all adequate, but if you will notice, there's a lot of variability in sites, including our Lane County site that has over 100 parts per million phosphorus, and our potassium is significant. We used a 2x2x3 factorial in a randomized complete blocks using 4 blocks, and our plots were approximately 7 meters by 5 meters. We used 2 different varieties. We wanted to look at the accuracy of varietal selection. So we chose a tolerant variety by ASGRO and a non-tolerant variety also evaluated by ASGRO. We then coated the seeds with 0.24 kilograms of iron per hectare with a 6% EDDHA chelate. This was a powdered chelate. We then added water to liquefy it, added a little bit of substance to get it to stick to the seed, and then we coated it and then broke it apart. That equates to about 4.5 kilograms per hectare of product. And we looked at 3 different foliar treatments. Once again, the powdered 6% EDDHA chelate and the 4.5% iron HEDTA chelate, and no iron. The agronomic indicators that I'm going to present to you today are grain yield in metric tons per hectare, chlorophyll meter readings using a Minolta SPAD meter, and plant height. Now, this picture is a reference value of kind of what the ranges that I'm going to be talking about. On your left-hand side, you can see it's got a high SPAD meter value of about 35.5, and on the right, there is a more chlorotic bean that has a SPAD value of around 24. We analyzed using a 9.2 proc limix, using each block location as random effects and a significance level of 0.05. Our foliar application, it turned out, was not significant in any measured parameter. Western Kansas is kind of like operating in a convection oven, and in order for foliar application to be successful, plants like having high humidity and they like to be happy. So, a picture is worth 1,000 words, and our seed treatment gave us very pronounced results. As you can see, seed coated, the plants lived. And not seed-coated, they died. Our first trait is chlorophyll at the 6th trifoliate. And in all of these graphs, the dark bar represents the EDDHA chelate, the middle graph is the HEDTA chelate, and the blue is no foliar. As you can see, on your left-hand side is the non-tolerant variety, and no seed treatment is on the left, and seed treatment is on the right in all of the remaining graphs. As you can see, the tolerant variety had a 9.5% higher chlorophyll meter reading overall than the non-tolerant variety, which was what we expected. The seed treatment, however, increased chlorophyll meter readings by 14% over the non-treated samples, and both were extraordinarily significant. Plant height at maturity, the left axis is height in centimeters. The non-tolerant variety actually responded better to the seed treatment than the tolerant variety. It increased 19 centimeters overall versus the 12 centimeter increase in the tolerant variety. As you can see, there's a variety by seed interaction that was significant. And for the money shot, crop yield. The non-tolerant variety actually significantly out-yielded the tolerant variety, which is kind of curious because that was pretty much the antithesis of what everybody else who had ever done this had found. So what we ended up deciding was that once we removed the least limiting factor, the non-tolerant varieties were just a better variety and they were allowed to thrive. And seed treatment, however, caused a 50% increase in yield over the control, which is an extra 0.7 megagrams per hectare, and that was highly significant. And if you're a farmer out there who's farming, that equals another extra $200 per acre that you can put into your pocket as opposed to having dead soybeans. On conclusions, our foliar plant of treatments did not have a significant effect on any of these parameters, and I would not recommend using a foliar application at all in Western Kansas because of both cost and environmental factors. Our seed coating resulted in favorable agronomic increases in yield, height, and chlorophyll meter readings, and our varietal selection is important, and it is important for the greenness factor. However, it didn't really have any bearing on yield. I would like to thank the Kansas Soybean Commission, my advisor, Dorivar Ruiz Diaz, my graduate student cohorts, and the Kansas State University Soil Testing Lab. Are there any questions? Yes. We did. The seed treatment cost approximately $30 per acre, depending on prices for the year. And if you factor in $10 bushel soybeans, and we got approximately 22 return, which is about $220, you are around $200 as the return. Yes? We are working on such things. I have another part of my master's thesis that we did a variable rate, and at the 50% rate, our results were just as good as at this current rate. It was a lot easier to do, and we are working on, it could be done in the seed treating process that co-ops do before planting. Hopefully, we plan on working with some co-ops to see how this ends up. Also, farmers can, we had our large-scale farmer cooperator who was planting 500 acres of soybeans with this iron treatment, and he used a band application on top of his seeds, and he was extraordinarily pleased with his result. You remove the proximity of the plant roots, which can kind of mute the responses a little bit, but it also will be effective if you band apply it, which is what I would personally recommend. So.